And most likely the service will move in a total different way, in a different fashion. Every service is different. Every service is different. Just like every meal is different. Amen. So it's one meal Sunday morning, another one Sunday night, and another one on Tuesday night, and then you get the full meal deal. So I challenge you not to starve yourself to death. It's a long time between here and next Sunday morning. So come back again tonight and let's see what the Lord would have for us. Let's look at Luke chapter 16, verses 20 through 26. While you're standing in honor of the word, the Bible says, "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores." And this is a sad looking guy. He's in bad shape. "And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and they licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and then he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried." I want you to comprehend something. The rich man had his help, and he had his wealth. He died, and he went to his place in eternity. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But so did Lazarus. He died. A beggar, full of sores. The dogs came by and licked it. We need to open our eyes and see the message here. Thank God for the blessings when they come, but if they don't, thank God anyhow. Okay. We're not here just as a bless me club. We're not here because we have need of stuff. But we are here to make heaven our eternal home. And that is the most important thing. And we're not here to make heaven home so that we can bypass hell. But we want to see Jesus face to face, the one that saved us by His grace. Yep, I needed to preach this. Hallelujah. Because this is one more gimme, take world where people fashion religion according to their own thoughts and their own thinking. But we don't change God to fit us. We change so we can fit with God. And that takes a lot of change. But we're willing to do that because there's some things that we need to obtain from the Lord. And so with this scripture read, in hell, the Bible said he lift up his eyes. The rich man being in torment. You see, his torment came. And the healing came for the beggar. But he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now this is a fact because it's Bible. Amen. Now you can believe all that cosmos and that worm crawled out of the river and eventually became a monkey and the monkey became a man and all that jazz if you want to. But I've always said if we came from monkeys, how come there's not a half man, half monkey out there? Where did the lion stop? I'm just saying, amen. So if we can believe all that, surely we can believe this. Send Lazarus. He cried out to Father Abraham. Now there's going to be a lot of torment in hell. I understand that. But one of the greatest torments of all is to be able to look across that great gulf like this man did and see Abraham and see the beggar, possibly even some of his relatives, and he can't get to them and they can't get to him. I wonder if he could see them, but they can't see him. Well, now, wouldn't that be an eternal torment? He said, "Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now, ladies and gentlemen, to dip my finger in that water and just touch a person's tongue, if that will bring them relief, they are in some torment. They are in serious torment. Someone said, you want to know what hell's like? Turn the burner on your stove on high and then go and rest on it for a while. And then you'll get just a very tiny percentage of the feeling that hell will be. And so here's what I want to preach. And I don't want anybody to leave until I'm done, because you won't comprehend what I'm going to preach about through the title. Because here's what I'm going to preach. A desire to go to hell. A desire to go to hell. Listen to me. If you knew what hell really was, you'd stop telling your enemy to go there. You wouldn't desire for anybody to go there. Anyway, I want to preach a desire to go to hell. Let's look to the Lord and ask God to help us in this message right now. Master, it's a sobering thought. It's a strong feeling that's in the house. We praise you for what you've already done. But Lord, Job said, thou hast grabbed me by my neck and hath shaken me. It sounds to me, Lord, like you woke him up and he sensed reality and he pulled out of his dilemma because of it. I'm asking you to do the same today to me or anyone else, Lord, that may need a shaking so that you can do a making. We pray your will. We pray your presence. Awaken us from spiritual slumber and sleep, and let us see what thus saith the word of the Lord to us as individuals. In the mighty name of the Lord. And somebody shouted amen. You may be seated after you shake someone's hand. Praise God. Amen. I didn't come here this morning to frighten anyone, although I really don't think I could. And I'll tell you why. The coming of the Lord is so near. The end is so close. Eternity is so much closer than it's ever been. Heaven is closer and hell is closer than it's ever been. And so, and I don't care what anyone thinks, this is what I think. I believe that within the last 20, 30 years, Hollywood is trying to prepare young minds for what is to come. They give us films like Apocalypse, and they give us films like Hellfire and Demons and the Living Dead. What in the world somebody would love about what? Really? I mean, you go out and cars are decorated like that. And zombies everywhere. And now there is a cult that believe they're coming. How do you know? Hollywood told me. You look that director. He's phenomenal. He told us, that producer, that movie, that film, that. And so Hollywood has tried to prepare. So there's really nothing that I could preach about hell that would awe anybody. Amen. So what I've been praying for this morning, and I made sure leadership was praying with me, and it is because I want us to understand that there is a heaven, and you have no problem with that. The problem I have with people about heaven is how easy it is to get there. Depending on what denomination you are, you can live in adultery, you can live in fornication, you can lie, you can cheat, you can steal, you can drink, you can smoke yourself to death, and heaven is just waiting for you. Depends on denomination, of course. But I'm telling you right here, you're not in a denomination, you're in a church. And this church wants to believe the Word of God. And so the Word of God is directing our footsteps. And we're doing our best. We don't hit 100 every day, but the next day we're going to try our best to hit 100. And the next day we're going to try our best to hit 100. Amen. And we're not going to give up striving for perfection just because we have an excuse that we're human. Amen. And so we need to understand that there is a heaven, and most importantly, that there is a hell. And even though it is 2018, people can still go to hell. You know why you don't feel and understand about people going to hell as much as you used to? There was a true story, amen, about a little girl, and she wanted to go to church, but her mom and dad wouldn't let her. It's a sad day when your mom and dad and grandma and grandpa had rather see you on drugs out there on the street than to see you in here running the aisles. Just because that's not their custom and that wasn't their religion growing up. Amen. Well, apparently their custom and religion growing up didn't work. So turn your children loose and let them worship. Amen. And so they pulled her out of the church. A long time perhaps passed by, and then she's dying of cancer, and she's in the hospital, and she's screaming, and she said, "Dad, I don't know what it is, but my feet are on fire." And then she said, "It's going up to my knees," and she's screaming in agony and pain, and the pain went up to her waist. When it got to the top of her head, she passed away and died, slowly but surely entering into an abyss called hell. And you can believe that if you want to. You don't have to. But ladies and gentlemen, just as sure as God made green apples, He made a hell for those that don't want to be comfortable in heaven. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? Why is that, Brother Marshburn? Why is it that we don't hear about that no longer? Because of medication. When you're on your deathbed in hospice, they give you the button. And when you feel pain, you press it as much as you want to. Am I right? You give yourself as much painkiller as you want so you can be comfortable. It'll put you out of your mind. Amen. I've been to so many deathbeds where they see little girls and little children playing. Amen. They see Sister Trudy English. Her dog was with her the whole time laying in her bed. He would run out in the hall, and she was afraid someone was going to steal him and pick him up. Her dog was never there. It was medication. And so they've gotten brains so medicated until they're not aware that they're slipping off into eternity. Amen. So people have seen angels as they came to escort them to heaven, but they have also felt the flame as they were sinking into that abyss. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a desire to go to hell. I want to teach you the reality of eternity. Amen. Eternity is a long time. In fact, it's longer than time. It's so much longer than time. In eternity, there will be no more time. Someone said, take a steel ball bearing the size of the world and let a sparrow, that little brown Walmart parking lot bird, let him circle that ball bearing the size of the world once a year, and let his wing lightly touch one particular spot. When that ball bearing is worn out from that feather touching it once a year, as that bird circles the bearing the size of the world, when that ball bearing is completely worn out from that, eternity would have just begun. Thank you. Somebody's praying and reaching. Somebody's believing and trusting God. And it is just like the devil for some folks that needed to be here not to be here today. I would to God that somehow you would get this in their hands. Amen. Praise God. Count the single grains of sand on the beach. When you're done, great success. But eternity would have just begun. Count the number of stars in the heavens. Great success. But when you're done, eternity just begun. Hell is real. Some people don't want to believe it, but it's real. Not many preachers are preaching it anymore, but that doesn't hide the fact that there is a hell. We preach revival so much until the reality of hell is diminishing. But I'm telling you right now, every minute, over 100, nearly 200 people die. Every hour, over 6,000-7,000 people die. Every day, I think it's 200,000 people die every day. And we act like we're going to be here forever. Stepping into that other world where nothing can be changed. Destination? One or two places. Heaven or hell. And I want to get through your head right now. And my head as well. I'm not prejudiced about what I'm preaching here today. Amen. You're not going to heaven because you said you are. You're not going to heaven because I'm a good person. Good people are born every day. You've got to be born again. And you've got to be faithful to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Can I say it? Amen. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That means coming to the house of God. I know your mind's made up. I know that. But I'm challenging some of those, and I'm sparking more interest in those that are faithful right now. I'm not talking to the ones that's got your mind made up. Amen. But I'm telling you, it is the will of God for you to be in the house of God every time the doors are open. That ain't popular, and that ain't good preaching, but I've got to preach it because I've got to answer to God for every one of you that I'm preaching to right now. You will not be able to point your finger at me and tell me that you didn't tell me I had to be at church. You didn't tell me I had to be there Sunday night. You didn't tell me I had to hear the truth on Tuesday night. You didn't tell me that I should have been at prayer meeting on Saturday night. Oh, yes, I did. I did tell you, but you didn't want to hear it, and the last thing you wanted to do was do it. You say, preacher, what you're preaching right now is not going to grow a great big church. I didn't come to this city for a great big church. I hope God gives us one, but the most important thing to me is that somebody goes to heaven. The most important thing to me is that somebody makes it into the glory world. Hello? Amen. This ain't fictitious, and this ain't Disney World, and it certainly isn't Donald Duck. This is Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, only one. His name is Jesus, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last, everything in the middle and between. Amen. I didn't come today to tickle your ears. We have fun. We laugh. I promise you, we do. If you're a first-time visitor, it's not always this intense, but it is today because there's a clear-cut message that the Holy Ghost would get over in somebody's head and get it in your mind. Amen. Things have got to change and be rearranged if you're going to make heaven your home. Church, would you help me right here? Would you believe God with me right now? Amen. While I preached all of that, there's people that made a reason why I was wrong. You say, preacher, you can't think negative like that. That ain't negative. That's a fact. Come back tonight and I'll prove it to you. Because I'm going to ask you, where are they? Amen. It ain't serious. It ain't for real. It's a part, but it ain't the thing. Amen. It's a little bit, but it ain't a lot. Hello? Now, I'm not picking on anybody. Amen. People get sick. People have financial trouble. People this and this. Listen, it's always the person that I'm getting to you. And you'll come to me after service. Pastor, is it me? And if you feel like coming to me and say, is it me? It usually isn't you. Because the message moved you so strong until you're encouraged to continue to do what you've been doing all along. It's the ones that the Lord just can't get in there. It's the ones that He just can't quite get to. The ones that it's just not, it's, I got enough. I can't even fathom how frustrating it is to God for him to pay such a price and for us to feel that a little dab will do me and that's enough. Amen. Because there is a hell and there is a heaven, and there's only one of two places that we can go once we breathe our last breath. And it doesn't matter what kind of candy-coated words I say at your funeral. I can't put you in and I can't take you out. That's between you and your God. But if when you do it, get it right, because you only get one shot. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't like to preach this subject unless I just feel it from God, because I know it's not glamorous. I know it's not colorful. Nevertheless, 237 times in the New Testament alone, there are warnings about hell. Matthew 18 tells us, cut your hands off. Pluck your eyes out. Just do not go to hell. It's serious business. It is an endless nightmare of burning. I hope you're not one of those people that are caught up in the web of this generation, where there's no room in your busy schedule for an altar, no room to recognize your need for a forgiving and a graceful God. There is a belching belly of hell, and the only thing that will satisfy it is you. I remember the story in Houston, Texas. A man was burnt. You could see the burns on his body. He said, I was putting gas. He put gas into his garage. He got it too close. It was too close. The fumes were too close to the water heater. He didn't even pay attention, and it caused an explosion. The Bible says it's a lake of fire. Can I tell you what that man said? He was healed. He was over the pain and going about his life again. He was scarred, but yet he was going about his life again in no pain. But he was still mad. He was mad that they kept him alive. He said, I am telling you right now. He said, I feel it as if it was just this morning. He said, the pain was so unbearable. He said, I'm telling you, I don't know why they didn't let me die. He was still mad because the pain was so unbearable from the flames. Ladies and gentlemen, that's suffering. That is suffering. The Bible says it's a lake of fire where the worm dieth not. The little boy camping, the Shriners put out a little film, a little documentary about what good they do for burn victims and little children. And a little child, while his mom and dad wasn't looking, was dousing gas on the fire. And it leaked up on the can and got all over him. And by the time they got the fire off of him, you could see his fingertips were huge water blistered bubbles. He was burned so bad. I remember a story of a man, a young man, that went off to college, and being away from his mom and dad. His mom and dad pastored a great church. And he went away to college, and it wasn't long before he was influenced by that college mentality and that world, and he got caught up in it. When he came home, he was one thing, but when he was at college, he was another thing entirely. And he got caught up in it. His mom and dad were praying sincerely and earnestly for him. And while one night he was asleep, he had a dream. He believes with all of his heart that it was a vision. And in that dream or vision, he saw himself in hell. And he said the torment was beyond comprehension. But he was able to look across like the beggar did and to see his family. And he said, with his family, he was there. And he kept screaming and screaming and screaming to his mom and dad, saying, that's not me. That's not me. I'm in hell. That's not me. That's not me. God giving a young man a dream and a vision while there was still chance, letting him know it can be you there and it can be you here. What do you choose? Well, I hope he chose heaven because he's pastoring a church right now. And I hope he's preaching truth, and I hope he's preaching righteousness, and I hope he's doing it right. I'll never forget Brother James Gass, that dream you had years ago. I'll never forget. I preached it all across the country. He came to me. He said, Pastor, I had a horrible dream. I said, tell me about it. He said, in my dream, I saw people in hell. He said, flames leaping 100 feet high. He said, all of a sudden, people were so on fire until the skin, the meat, and all of that would just melt off like liquid. And suddenly they were a skeleton. And then he said, all of a sudden it would grow back. And then it would melt off again. And it would grow back and melt off again. And melt off again. And melt off again. I said, my Lord and my God. You know, heaven is a place we've never seen. There's going to be things we never thought of. Have you ever thought about the fact that hell is going to be a place you've never seen and there's going to be things there you never thought of? Is that one of them? And so it is. The rich man cried out. In hell he remembered, let Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue. And they had to say, I can't. You refuse to listen to reality. I know verse 26 says that there's a great gulf fixed and people can't go there from here. They can't come here from there. But I have a desire to go because I feel that I could. Listen, you talk about a revival. You talk about a church full. The building over there would be full. This sanctuary would be full. The foyer would be full. The youth department would be full. And there'd be thousands outside trying to get in. If I could go to hell and preach to them one more time. So yeah. I have a desire to go to hell because it would only take one simple sermon. All I would have to say is, I'm here today to give you another chance. And millions of people would run for an altar. But I can't. I'm not allowed. There's a great gulf fixed. I can't get to them and they can't get to me. And so I thought this morning, maybe there's someone that I can get to. Let's stand. Maybe there's someone that will finally say, I'm serious about being serious. And I'm real about being real. And that's why I'm preaching it today. Even if I had the opportunity to interview someone from hell and they could stand beside me. To me, it's a little warm in here. Maybe even to you, it's a little warm in here. I don't know. But if I were to interview someone in here from hell today, they would be shaking uncontrollably, just about to freeze to death because of the atmosphere. It's so much colder here than it is where they are. I wouldn't want hell to remind you of the sermon because that would be a torment too. I wouldn't want hell to remind you of this service. But I do know this. If you or I or any one of us were to go to hell, we would beg for help. We would scream for help. We would lose our dignity and tell God we will praise you any way you want to be praised, and we will pray as long as you want us to pray. And you, if you had church, Lord, 7 days a week, I would be there 7 days a week. Just get me out of this place. Well, you know what? It's time to get out of that place while you have a chance. Amen. Praise God. The devils and the demons of hell would flock this altar and repent. But it is off limits to them. But it's not off limits to anyone else. There's a simple song that says, there is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river, and it never shall run dry. There's a river flowing, and it will wash you. It will cleanse you. It will take away all the debris. It will take away all the sin. But somebody's got to get serious and say, I will not make hell my home. I'm on my way to heaven, and I've got a mind made up. I wonder if somebody would join me at the edge of the river, where the Bible says He will dry all of our tears. Where the Bible says, seek and you shall find. Where the Word says, knock and it shall be open. Where He said, if you'll lift me up, I'll draw you to me. Where He said, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, there is a river, and it flows from deep within. There's a fountain. And it frees the soul from sin. Everybody come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. We don't need stuff. We don't need things. We need to make heaven our home. I wonder if somebody feels the need to call on the name of the Lord right now. Amen. Could you get your mind on Jesus? Maybe there's somebody that you feel the need to pray for that's struggling. Someone perhaps that's in a fight.
Favor in your sight.
Yes.
The Lord, please.
Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost presence, Holy Ghost Spirit, Holy Ghost anointing.
To be where you are.
I'm asking you, Lord, to let him see the other side of trouble, the other side of defeat. Let him see the other side, Lord, of sickness and disorder. Let him see victory side. Lord, let him see the revelation side, the renewal, the refreshing, the revival side.
To behold.
Right now, Master. Right now, in Jesus' name. Right now, right now, right now.
I will do.
Oh, yes. 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 Yes.
For your glory.
My.
I will do. To see you, to behold you as my King.
Send the winds of refreshing, I send your Spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, I send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, I send your Spirit.
Yeah.
Send the winds of refreshing, I send your glory down.
Yeah.
Send the winds of refreshing, I send your Spirit.
Ah, Lord, send hallelujah.
Send the winds of refreshing, I send your glory down.
My.
Oh,
yeah. My Lord. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost.
My.
If we want to be where He is, let's start with where we know He is. He's right here at Landmark. We'll see you again tonight in Jesus' name. God bless you. You're dismissed. Shake hands. Be friendly. Let somebody know you love them. You appreciate them.